victory. The devil thinks he's won the victory, but he ain't won nothing.
Amen.
We have got the victory. Tonight, for a few minutes tonight, I want to ask each one of you, what would y'all rather have it on a Saturday night or a Sunday night of singing? I'm gonna get some people here in town, just some different ones here in town. Maybe even get the Yarborough family, so I can get them to come one night, but in July. Either Friday night, Saturday night or Sunday night. Not unless y'all wanna have it on Friday night. but y'all speak up, man. Yeah,
I didn't answer the question.
Some of them will be going to the home church.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, that's true too, but you know, maybe we can get some people in church. That's right, maybe we'll get some people in church that don't go to church. But okay. I really want y'all to think about it now. Y'all think hard about it. Please, don't let me do it. Just don't leave it up to me. Because you leave it up to me, I'll liable to come up with a date where nobody can be here. But no, I know, Sister Nancy, when is a good night for you? Because I know that you work during the day and Saturday night, because it won't, you know, it'll be by around 7 o'clock Friday night. If Saturday night's okay with you, or Sunday afternoon, whatever. But y'all think about it, and if you can, let me know something Wednesday. How about that? Because I want to try to start. I've already talked to some people about. Were two different ones that by coming and singing, and they said they would, said, you know, anytime, just let them know. And so I just thought something, we'd just do something a little different, and maybe we can do that. And I'm going to see if I can get what's his first name? Brother Morris is the one place to get to. Alan. Alan Morris.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Brother Alan.
Yeah.
Morris.
Yeah.
Well, y'all invited them to the Jubilee, and I did too, but they didn't come.
Yeah. Well, they went out to.
They was going to Bethel.
Yeah, went out to Bethel. Don Sesson was out there, and I heard that they went out there. I heard they had a good revival out there. But, all right, well, y'all think about it, and y'all let me know Wednesday, any Saturday night or Sunday, you know, because I don't know if anything on a Sunday night we got anything, except for the communion of the last Sunday night service. Then I got all these Saturdays open, so. But y'all think about that. And maybe we might do something a little earlier, something like that. We might have some hot dogs, something like that. But, you know, if y'all want to, but it's up to y'all. Cause that's fine. That's fine. Well, that's fine for me. Just had some good old singing. But y'all think about it. Let me know Wednesday night if you can, because I know I feel like all of you be here tonight, huh?
Some of it may depend on who you can get to sing.
Well,
when they
have to give them a love offering if they come.
Yeah, well, we'll take up a love offering. We'll take up a love offering for them. But, you know, now, the ones that is coming, they said that they would be more than willing to help us, you know, as far as, you know, love. They ain't gonna come for no money. They ain't gonna come for a love offering. I mean, they just come and try to help the church. Because it's, you know, I think we need to start concentrating on some things like that, where we can start helping the general fund. And because, you know, we don't come awful closest. Yeah, but it, I know it, but you know, you can't just, but y'all think about it. And I got two individuals that I know that can come any afternoon, on Saturday afternoon. I haven't checked with the Yarborough family, I hadn't checked with Alan Mars, but I can call him this week and I'll check with him, see what, and I can let y'all know something Wednesday night. And then maybe y'all can think about that. Y'all just let me know Sunday. How about that? All right. I'll give you the days that they can come and the day that they can come. All right? All right. Well, since we got that out of the way, and that's going to be in July. Okay. If it's okay with y'all. I mean, just cause I'm the pastor does not mean it goes my way. You know, unless y'all, you know, if y'all want to do something else, let me know. We need to do some other things, but I know we're limited on what we can do. Because we don't want to spend the money that West's going to deplete us on down. But, all righty. Turn to John chapter 2. John chapter 2. I'm going to pass 5. And I'm going to let you out of here no later than 7 o'clock tonight.
Caleb's going to call you too. He said he'd let us out by 7. I said, Caleb's going to call you too.
No. All righty. Here over there in John chapter 2. And we're going to start with verse 15, 13, and go on down to about 17 or 18. But it's right here speaking about the first Passover. And this was right here, the first Passover after the, after John had been preaching, and he'd been preaching to the people. He'd been preaching to Nicodemus and all of them. And not only that, he's showing Nicodemus and John the Baptist where they were, and he was showing and all of them, he was showing them some things about the Passover. He was telling them some things about the Passover. And the Passover, it basically is the first purification of the temple, is what it says. But here it says, and the Jews' Passover was at hand. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money setting. And when he had made a scourge of small cord, a scourge of small cord, he drove them out, all out of the temple. And the sheep and the oxen had poured out the changers' money overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will rise it up. Father, we thank you for this afternoon, and Father, we thank you for the reading of thy word. Now, Lord, I pray, Father, that you'll just help me with the message tonight, and Father, that it will give the individual something here tonight to think about and ponder on, and Father, that we can leave something with them that they can share with other people. And Father, we just want to thank you. We want to love you because you first loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to look back up to verse 15, I believe it is. No, verse 17, excuse me. It's in verse 17. And I want to look at that latter part of that. Says the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. The zeal. Bring you a message on this thought of being swallowed up by the zeal. We must have a zeal within our heart to do nothing else but serve the Lord. We must fear the Lord also. But we must have the zeal for God's house, to where when we're in God's house and what we hear from the other saints of God, what we hear from the Sunday school teacher, and what we hear from the preaching hour, that what we hear will eat us up. It would eat up all of the bitterness that we have. The bitterness we had toward one another. The bitterness that we have toward family members. The bitterness we had before non-Christians. We need to allow the Word of God to penetrate within us. That the Word of God would just chew up all that bitterness that we have. Bitterness has been chewed up by the Word of God, then we can live a better life. We can live a better life for the Lord. And it says right here in Amos chapter 3, in verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Verse 3. And said the question here in verse 3 through 6 are calculated to show Israel how her sin had separated her from God. Bitterness is nothing else but sin. And it will eat away at you. It will eat away at all the good things that you new. And the bitterness can put that hatred in your heart. It can make it hatred stronger than what it has before. But it says, can two walk together except they be agreed? You know, I don't know. I know that we can go out here and we can have fellowship with somebody else that goes to another church, another denomination or whatever. But can we really fellowship with them? We can fellowship with them. We don't have to agree with them. We don't have to agree with them on their doctrine. Because one thing about, I am a Baptist by choice. I'm not a Baptist because I got saved in a Baptist church. I'm a Baptist by choice. And I believe, according to God's word, all the way through it, and what the Bible teaches, it's the closest thing that I know of to where we can live by. Because it calls sin by its name. It don't put these other labels on it. When you put a label on sin, what you're doing is you just kind of make it sound a little better. That the sin is not all that bad. It doesn't make no difference. Small sin or large sin, it doesn't make no difference. Still sin. God hates sin. God does not like sin. And has sin spelled S-I-N. Spell it. S-I-N. Sin. Where it says, I have sinned against God. And we do every day. I do every day of my life. But I'm so thankful that I have the Word of God that can tell me, can teach me what I must do to get rid of that bitterness and to get rid of that hatred that I have in my heart towards someone else. I'm not supposed to hate anybody. I'm supposed to love people. I'm supposed to love everyone. Because why? Because that's what God is all about. God, He's a God of love. He's not a God of hatred or disappointment. He's a God of love. We must realize that also. Right here where it says up there, in verse 17, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. The zeal for God's house. It will eat up all the bitterness. It will eat up all his sin. Just like that just like them termites. We can have termites at home. We can have them in the wood. But if we leave them alone, if we leave them termites alone, they're going to continue eating away at the structure. That's the reason we end up, when we once find them, that's we end up calling who? The exterminator. The one that can come in and spray, can tell us what we can do to get rid of all the termites. This right here is God's exterminator. If we get in and read it, it's going to allow us to be able to do something about the sin is in our life. And all of the bitterness that we had. And all the bitterness that we do still have. You know, sometimes we say, well, I'm okay. Everything's all right between me and God. But did you realize that God looks down on our soul? He looks down on our soul deep enough to where we done hid that sin.
When I first got saved, I tried my very best to hide it. That
because I smoked back then. When I got saved, I smoked. But the thing about it is, I knew something had happened. And the Lord didn't want me to smoke on the church lot, parking lot, or any church lot anywhere. And He didn't want me to smoke around other Christians. God allowed me to learn that in His Word, because He told me, this is a tabernacle. You must take care of the tabernacle. But see, I was trying to hide it. I was trying to hide it to the point that I just pushed it way down. Way down deep. Where sometimes I didn't even think about it no more. But I found out something. As long as I was doing the smoking, God won't use me. God won't use me. I mean, I've had people say, well, I don't know if they're saved or not, but they sure do smell like hell to me. I'm not judgmental to nobody that smokes. It is a hard thing to quit. That was one of the hardest things that I ever had to give up. Something that big had that much of a hold on me. But I finally just said, Lord, You say that You want me to preach. And I've told You, not me, somebody else can do a better job. But Lord, You're going to have to do something with this. You're going to have to take it away. I can't. I've tried. And I need Your help with it. I come home. I got in my study. And I just started reading. And I started praying about it. Again. I took them out of my pocket. And took them and shoved them in the drawer. And I hadn't picked up one since. I had to learn myself that I was hiding sin from everyone else. I was even trying to hide it from God. You can't hide nothing from God. I was trying to hide it from Him. But you want to tell you something? The more I hid it from Him, the more sadder I got, the more I felt so unworthy to even open the Bible and read it. I felt so unworthy to even call Him God. Because I wasn't just lying to myself and to the other people, but I was lying to God. I was trying to hide it from God, but you can't hide nothing from God. God sees everything. God knows everything. And He is everywhere. He's an all-knowing, all-seeing, and all-hearing God. He knows all about us. He knows all about me. But I'm so thankful that He has given me the Word of God now, the way I can take it and I can read it and... I may not be able to quote the verses, but I know that there's a verse in the Bible where it tells me that if I sin, oh, I'm just in John, 1 John 1:9. What does it say? What does it say? I'm scared. Really? I am so scared that when I even quote a verse, that I'm scared that I will leave out a word. Because you know something? If you leave out a word, you leave out a word in one verse of Scripture, you didn't turn the whole verse around. You got a whole new meaning right there. But it says in 1 John 1:9, it says, if we... Now he is speaking to all of us. But he's also speaking to me. If we confess our sins, you ever noticed the word sin? It changes from sins, S-I-N-S, after we're saved. But before we got saved, it was S-I-N. One sin. Who was that one sin? Rejecting God. Rejecting and what His Son had done at Calvary. Rejecting the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. One sin, S-I-N. But now he's saying about if we confess our sins, more than one sin, because there's no way under the sun that we can go through one day and say that we haven't committed a sin. Because we have. We don't do everything right. We don't say everything right. We don't speak to the people that God wants us to speak to during the day. We may say, well, Lord, I'll go and speak to them after a while. I'll speak to them when I'm over on a break. I'll speak to them when I'm... during lunch hour. But that's not when the Lord wants us to speak. The Lord wants us to go right then. But what do we say? We say, well, Lord, you know I can't go now. I can't go now. Because I'm on a job. And if I go there, if I talk to them, and just tell them I'm praying for them is all I have to do. I'm so scared that the boss man or the boss lady is going to see us. Then when they see us and they know what we've done, then what do? They come up and say, you're fired. You knew better than to do that. Hey, people today... these manufacturers, these companies, these place of businesses, they don't care anything at all about you and I. If you're Christian, they don't care anything about you. The only one that they care about is the one that is in sin, S-I-N. And then it becomes sins, S-I-N-S, because... once they go into a convenience mart and they go in and they say, I'm going to go in and get me a loaf of bread, maybe some bologna, so I can fix me a bologna sandwich this afternoon. Well, then he walks by the cooler and he said, you know, since I'm here, I said, I don't think I got but two bottles of beer in the truck, in my fridge at home, so I'm just going to get me a carton. Go on and get the carton. Where he could have took the money that he was spending for that, but at extra beer and on that he could have thought about buying something for the family. Maybe buying a little more in groceries. But no, they don't worry about it. They worry about it now, right now. And we are too. To a certain degree. But we must look into the future.
We must look on tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. Which tomorrow, the word tomorrow, when it doesn't never come. But I'm talking about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or the next week. None of them days may come to all of us. And when they don't come, then what happens? What happens to us? We'll lose out because we haven't done what we're supposed to do that day. And I'm going to close with this.
You know, do you know the reason
that they had that God has it in His Word that there in heaven, the angels there in heaven, they glorify over one sinner. They are so happy over one sinner coming to the Lord and one sinner coming to know Jesus. And it also says in His Word, it says, when at last the sinner says yes to Jesus, then He's going to take the church out. We're going home. Why did He put it like that? Has anybody ever thought of it that way? Why was it put that way? Over that one sinner. When that one sinner comes to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Have you ever thought about it? The reason He done that is to teach us something within that. That while we as individuals need to be about His business, not about my business, not about what we can do here at the church, but about His business. If it's His business for us to come tomorrow, whoever come tomorrow and everything, and go out there and just pick up the rocks that's in the driveway. Or if He just wants us to come and do something here at the church. Or go and sit and visit somebody. As long as we're doing something for Him, He's being blessed. He's being blessed. That's what He's trying to tell us. He's trying to tell us, if you'll go and if you'll do the work, I'll come back after you sooner than you want. I'm just really wondering how many Christians there are that really, really want to go home. I know I ain't but 66 years old. I start to say 65 or 66 now. I know I ain't but 66. But for every day that the Lord leaves me here on this earth, there's somebody else out there that may need me to encourage them. And my brother needs me. My brother needs my prayers. Because he's lost. I don't want him to die and go to hell. My real father, I do not know the last words he said when he was in West Virginia on January the 1st, 1958. Have no idea what the last words he said. When that elevator was coming down, the chain, the shaft, everything was coming down. Right at, he didn't even have time to even get out of the way. And it crushed him. But he did have time enough to think where he was going to spend eternity at. He did have time to think. I'm hoping and praying that I'll see him, and when I get to him, I don't know. I won't know until I get there. But all my other family, they're going to be there. They're going to be there. But you may tell you what, I'm not going to heaven. I don't want to go to heaven just to see my loved ones, to see my grandmother, to see the best friends that I had that's over there now. I want to go to heaven because I want to look face to face with Jesus and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I don't know how long we're going to say it. I don't know how long I'll be saying the word thank you. But it still will not be enough if I do it for every second of 10,000 years. It still will not be long enough because of what he's done. What he's done for me and my family. I don't know what tomorrow may bring. You don't either. But we know who holds tomorrow. We know exactly who holds tomorrow. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, now. That, Father, that we do know who holds tomorrow, and that's you. But Father, I pray today, Lord Jesus, it may be something that we've been holding on to our own self, Father. And we haven't realized it. But Father's just been eating away at us. The bitterness that we have towards one another. The something there is keeping this church from growing. It's keeping this church from where it needs to be for thee, Father. I know, Lord Jesus, that every one of them here love you. I know that. Even knowing that, and even knowing my own heart, Lord, and even knowing, Father, that we cannot go one day without falling flat on our face. Father, I do thank you that we do have the Word of God that can encourage us. Now, Father, I just ask, Lord, that you may touch our hearts in a way, Lord, that we will know. We will know this is exactly what you want us to do. And Father, that we will not intervene. And Father, we will not go ahead of you. Lord, but you lead and you guide and you direct each one of us to go, Father, in the way that you want us to go. And Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. I know what these people want. They've confessed it. They've had testimony of it, Father. They have told us what they want. They want to see the house of God filled. They want to see more people here in the church. They want to see some young people here in the church. Father, that's what I want. If it's me, move me out of the way. Take and put me aside, Father. If I'm standing in the way, of people coming to church here and, Father, getting saved. If I'm the problem, Father, move me, is my prayer. Father, help me each and every day. The Lord, that I'll stay true to you and I'll stay true to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.